Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. This podcast is supported by a grant from the Arthur and Roop Foundation. I'm Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of Southern Caregiver Resource Center, or SCRC for short, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rayon, Director of Government and Community Affairs.
Hi, Roberto.
Hello. Today we have special guests with us, Rebecca Boone and Elizabeth Parks, who are both family consultants and OFC coaches here at Southern Caregiver Resource Center. Welcome, both of you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
The purpose of Let's Talk Caregiving is to open a forum for dialogue on caregiving issues and connect families to supportive services. Today's topic is, of course, caregiving, but we want to talk a little bit about military and veteran family caregivers. As we know, the profile of caregiving is really changing throughout the country and in the county of San Diego. We are no longer only seeing caregivers providing care to an aging family member. We're seeing younger caregivers, young spouses with children, Generation Xers and millennials who are in that sandwich generation that are working and caring for an older adult loved one. But we're also seeing a lot of family members who are caring for a lot of young post 9/11 family caregivers, which is one of the programs that one of the categories of caregivers that we are able to provide services for here at Southern Caregiver Resource Center. Marta, I don't know if you had anything to share about that kind of the changing demographics, things that you've been observing out in the community.
Absolutely. Whenever I do classes out in the community, I'm noticing more and more the younger caregiver, but not only the younger caregiver, the younger working caregiver. And one of the most interesting, I think, questions that I get is when caregivers say, well, maybe I should bring my adult children into these classes so that they know more about caregiving. So in case I need to be cared for, they know where to go and what to do. And of course, we encourage them to do that. But it was something I wasn't seeing before.
Yeah, and when we're working with, all caregivers, of course, younger caregivers have a lot of competing challenges being a caregiver, whether it's caring for an older adult or caring for a young adult. And many of them are challenged with issues related to employment and child care and also self-care. And I know that Rebecca and Beth, Elizabeth, you all work with young family caregivers as well. Are you finding these kinds of situations with some of your families?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd say pretty much almost every OFC client I've worked with, they're not only caring for, it's often a spouse, but they're also caring for, you know, maybe one to six children. They're trying to work part-time or full-time, and many are also in that sandwich generation, so they might even be caring for a parent too on top of that. So you can only imagine the many layers of stress that can come with, definitely.
Right. And what is OFC? What is OFC? You mentioned the acronym of OFC.
OFC stands for Operation Family Caregiver. It's a national program that's through the Roslyn Carter Institute. And it's a evidence-based program for military or veteran caregivers. It's evidence-based and it follows a problem-solving model. It's 4 to 6 months in length. And it's one-on-one support for that family caregiver to provide a space for them to focus on their needs and challenges. And develop different strategies and solutions related to the goals that they've set for themselves, and a place just for them to focus on their own health and managing some of the stressors like we talked about.
This is a very important program mm-hmm. because I know, and I love statistics, and Martha always rolls her eyes when I start talking about statistics, but military and veteran caregivers seem to have a higher prevalence for developing depression, mm-hmm. And it's about four times the national average. What are some of the families that you're dealing with. Are you seeing this as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think depression can be pretty common for, again, I often will say kind of the spouse by default, because if they're caring for somebody who has, often it's PTSD or brain injury, those conditions, you know, often come with depression. And so when you're spending so much time and energy caring for someone with depression, can also kind of lead to like a secondary depression or, you know, like PTSD by association type situation. So absolutely, that comes up frequently.
I'm glad that we're talking about that, especially in this day and age where you are trying to manage so many different facets of life. But this weekend, I was talking to a group of caregivers, military veteran family caregivers. And the stories that I heard from them, trying to balance life, children, the spouse with a TBI or PTSD, and even forgetting that they themselves have needs, was really eye-opening, because this is what we do here. We talk about self-care, and our programs are all evidence-based, but is also they also exist for the caregiver. But it's really that need for the caregiver to connect to these services. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that both Elizabeth and Becca are here, because I know that you do great work working one-on-one with caregivers, especially who are part of the OFC program. So I was wondering, maybe either of you could share some of those stories in working one-on-one with these family caregivers that have really made an impact, whether it's been on you or how it's been beneficial to them.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. It's been so many meaningful client relationships that have come out of the program. But I mean, one that comes up to mind in particular, again, very, you know, common theme, similar themes to what a lot of the other caregivers I work with experience. For this particular spouse, she had two teenage children, was working full-time, a really demanding job, and her husband was going through an intensive inpatient program for probably the fourth time. Just many, many years, probably 10, 15 years she had spent supporting him since his time being discharged from the service due to his, you know, many different substance use disorders, PTSD, brain injury, depression, kind of the whole gamut she was supporting him through. And she had been really proactive, taking advantage of a lot of great, you know, counseling services, groups out there. But after she had gone through OFC, she specifically said how it was, you know, even more helpful than in any of those supports she had taken advantage of in the past, because it is so directive and like customized to meet the caregiver's, you know, unique challenges and situation. So that really stood out to me, that she was able to recognize how beneficial that was for her. And I think, again, it's a common theme that other caregivers feel is really helpful, that the program can be really customized to meet their challenges.
That's wonderful.
Rebecca, that's really important, the meeting the challenges, because I know there's a lot of common themes among caregivers, military and veteran family caregivers, and some of them are really kind of at a loss, don't either somewhat in denial or thinking that things will get better when their husband or wife return or leave the military, leave the service. I know of a family caregiver who it took about 10 years for that person mm-hmm. to reach out for help. Sure. And she and her husband was suffering from traumatic brain injury and PTSD, but remained in the service because he didn't want to leave his brothers overseas without him. He wanted to stay mm-hmm. there and provide that support and the way the military trains people. They thought that once he got out, that everything would go back to normal, mm-hmm. that it was just that. But he couldn't function very well after time, even in the civilian life, having rages, night terrors, even some bouts of some domestic violence. And these are some of the themes that, that many caregivers talk about. Their family member, you know, leaving and then coming back. But it takes sometimes years for somebody to reach out for help. And I don't know, Elizabeth, if you've seen things like that, any of those kind of stories from your families?
Yeah, so sometimes with some of these invisible wounds, obviously it's, you know, adjusting to this new normal that their life is going to be. And depending on, you know, the challenges and what they're balancing in their lives, whether that's work, school for themselves, caring for their kids, caring for their husband, life can have a lot of stressors and feeling like they might not have the time, or recognizing their need for help and the stress that's come on them personally with these situations. It can be isolating being a military caregiver, and that's one of the great benefits of the OFC program is getting that one-on-one coaching with somebody who has knowledge of PTSD and traumatic brain injury specific to the military and veteran population. But certainly it can take time. Even it can take time for a diagnosis to come. I mean, it could be years after the person's been discharged to understand that, oh, all these things that have happened, this is PTSD. And, you know, whenever that caregiver identifies themselves and is ready to reach out for that help, this program is here to support them.
And actually, I'm so glad you said that, because that is the common theme in a lot of the classes that I have throughout the community, is that if you don't identify as a caregiver, how are you going to ask for caregiver services? And in identifying as a caregiver who needs specific assistance with understanding a TBI or PTSD and what it looks like and how you manage is important. And that's why we are putting together a conference on Friday, April 13th of this year from 9:30 to 3:30 in Oceanside. It's at the Veterans Association of North County, 1617 Mission Avenue. I need to make sure that I plug that in, because here is an opportunity for military and veteran family caregivers who are specifically caring for someone with a TBI or PTSD to come and learn directly from the experts on what that is, how you manage, and also how you can incorporate some self-care. And I know we're going to be there because we're putting it together, but it's really an opportunity for the public to know that if you're in that situation, the situations that you just mentioned, or if you know someone who is in that situation, that they can reach out and get connected.
It always seems like it's very difficult for family members to reach out for help. I know just in general caregiving, that's a challenge, sometimes because you don't self-identify, and sometimes because you don't want other people to know your business, you know, your dirty laundry, your family secrets. In some families, it's, you know, they don't want people to know that somebody has dementia, Alzheimer's, or that their husband or wife is, you know, suffering maybe from some post-traumatic stress.
And I think especially in the military culture that there is this stigma of mental health, and that you don't ask for help, and it's a sign of weakness, and that's your duty. And that is why we are here, to tell family caregivers that it's not a sign of weakness. It shows strength that you have identified a need, and here is how we can fulfill that need and support you. I don't know if you want to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are very obviously strong families that we're working with. And so it can feel certainly uncomfortable to have to talk about, you know, these very personal challenges with somebody else. You know, sometimes that can be a little bit intimidating or scary to have to give voice to what you're struggling with. But, you know, it's thinking about, you know, maybe those first initial moments of getting connected, experiencing that discomfort and vulnerability can really lead to, you know, a lifetime worth of positive changes, hopefully, because that's definitely what the program's intended to do, is not only use these strategies in, you know, in the sessions during the time we're working together, but to carry them over into the long term to use as different challenges are coming up throughout life, really.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem solving model, it's been proven to work. We have been running Operation Family Caregiver as a program here in San Diego through Southern Caregiver Resource Center since 2013. And we've seen over 100 people through this program. And what is it? It's 4 sessions over 4 to 6 months?
Yeah, so we rotate between phone calls and in-person sessions, or rather face-to-face, and that's a great plus with the program is that those face-to-face sessions can be done over FaceTime, Skype. So that's another great perk that makes the program really flexible. And typically between, right, like you said, I'd say 4 to 6 months is pretty typical that we would spend.
And I think what's really wonderful about the OFC program is that it could be done, like you said, with FaceTime or via Skype. So because there's a lot of being deployed to other parts of the state or other countries for military families, so they could start in San Diego and finish in Japan.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I've had that where definitely they're getting they're having to move across the country, and they were able to successfully complete the program via FaceTime or Skype still. So that's a great perk, definitely.
And I think one of the important things also for military families is that there's also related to stigmas and challenges for reaching out. It's, you know, having a lot of programs require you to have an honorable discharge or to have a special, you know, diagnosis to get services. And our program, because it's based from a community-based agency like ours, SCRC, we don't require any of those. We don't require the verification of actual diagnosis and the individual or honorable discharge or certain things of that nature. And the client, the person who we're working with, is the family caregiver, and it's completely confidential, so there's no risk in them get or in us or anybody getting feedback back to the Department of Defense or the Veterans Administration with any type of information. So it's very confidential, and it's for the family caregiver.
And did we mention it's free?
And it's free. That's right. Don't want to add any more cost to already a costly life when you're a caregiver. Also, you know, the family members who are participating in the OFC program, I've heard several stories from individuals who've graduated from the program, and they've said that it not only has helped them tremendously in understanding and taking problems that were so overwhelming that it paralyzed them. The coaches teach them how to break things down and how to look at problems and reasonably assess them and come up with strategies to either avoid or deal with those problems. But so, and as well as self-care, Martha's talking about self-care, it teaches you how to give time to yourself, but it also has an impact on the children that live in the home. One caregiver was telling me how, you know, they used to walk on eggshells all the time, not knowing what was going to trigger her husband with his PTSD. And it's almost like there's a secondary PTSD going on in the home because of the triggers of the individual with PTSD.
Yeah, very common.
Very common. And the children had this high level of anxiety all the time. And now after they've graduated, they've implemented some of the problem-solving techniques. She says that the children are able to handle situations a lot better. And they also know that sometimes daddy is sick and not just being angry with them, which is a good kind of realization for the children to learn how to adapt to the kind of new normal in the home.
Right. Yeah. So through either, you know, more direct education or even in an indirect way, that can happen a lot with positive gains for the children, because when they're seeing Again, often it's, you know, the mother, maybe through the program, is learning to practice a lot more self-compassion, self-care, having a more positive attitude and outlook, and then that can have a reciprocal effect, and the children start picking up on that. You know, mommy's acting different. Mommy is feeling better, looking better. And so, of course, that definitely can shift the mood and environment of the whole household.
It's very good, and definitely very important to feel supported. And the fact that it's here talking to you two, who are the social workers working directly with these clients, that you walk hand in hand with them throughout that caregiver journey. It's so important as a caregiver, as a former caregiver, to know that we can reach out and that you're there and you understand and that there's no judgment and that you encourage self-compassion and self-care. And I think that's one of the reasons why this program is so wonderful and has helped so many people, like the caregiver that you mentioned earlier, that this was so different and therefore so so impactful to her. So right. I'm really hoping that people reach out, that get connected to these services, that are not afraid to take that initial step, that this isn't anything about, you know, having no strength, but really the opposite, and feel encouraged and empowered to do so.
And I think a lot of families also, families have told me that one of the really nice things about getting support, whether it's through OFC or other types of support, is that feeling of that you're not alone, that there are other people that you can identify with, that you sit there in a group or you talk to one of the coaches and they say, oh, they get it. I don't have to explain myself more. They understand what I'm going through, and they can tell either in the groups or in the individual sessions. Do you find that with some of the families that you're working with, Elizabeth?
Yeah, definitely. Or even just feeling like they don't have somebody that understands what they're going through, that they feel comfortable sharing, you know, maybe what happened last night or what they're dealing with on a daily basis. They don't feel comfortable talking to their friends about it or their other family members about it. So having that connection to the OFC program with a coach who has knowledge and experience working with other military caregivers. The other thing, too, is as social workers and being in San Diego, there's other resources that we can discuss during sessions to connect them with, whether it be, you know, support groups or other services and supports that can help them not feel so isolated, or if it's a specific challenge, financial or legal, we can discuss those resources to help them feel like they have a little bit more support in that.
That's fantastic. And I know that this is a specialized program for military families. And as Elizabeth was saying, there's a lot of other resources in San Diego. It's a military town. So people, you know, families out there who are looking for some support, you know, they can start by contacting our agency and getting connected. And even if it's not a program that they want to participate in right away, there are other resources out there that we can refer them to, is what you're saying, right, Elizabeth?
Yeah, and even if they are in the OFC program too, during the intervention sessions is what we'll call the face-to-face appointments. If there's a specific challenge they're working with, we can identify additional resources that they might not have information about. But certainly, yes, if they also aren't ready to finish the OFC program or start it, we can review any, you know, resources that are going to be relevant for their situation.
Yeah, I mean, caregiving's tough. And sometimes, and I'll just say, you know, when you're caregiving for a loved one, a family member or a friend who is aging, and you see a progression over time, and they're in their 70s or 80s, you kind of set up in this mentality of, well, that's expected. You know,
I'm starting
to get prepared. And it's so different when you're young, when you're in your 20s and 30s, and you have little kids, and
it wasn't supposed to be like this.
Right, and now your spouse comes back who was the, you know, protector of the family, and all of a sudden they're the ones that need help and support and protecting. And it just kind of flips the household upside down. So it's very challenging, and I know a lot of family caregivers who have participated in this mm-hmm. program, the OFC program, have really benefited from the services that you two provide through the coaching here. And we have another coach also here at SCRC. So we actually have three coaches working with military families, family caregivers, trying to help them and improve their situation through the OFC program. Mm-hmm. So that, well, I think that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha and Rebecca and Elizabeth for another stimulating discussion about caregiving. I want to remind people to contact our organization and go to the Operation Family Caregiver Conference on April 13th in Oceanside. And I want to remind our audience that out there that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, as Martha mentioned. It is a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. And I want to remind everybody that SCRC is here for you,
caring for those who care for others.
Thank you, everyone.